All right, Tavosai, good morning. Let us begin. We have a really beautiful daf ahead of us today, a new parak in Meretz Hashem as well. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors. To thank Avram Mishini Kelman for dedicating all the Shirim and Drashos this month with the hope and prayer that the month of Av will be a Yom Tov filled with joy in the eternal Beis HaMikdash. Beautiful. Week of Learning sponsors the Ringo and Ram families in the merit of a Refuah Shalema for their granddaughter and niece, Rachel Fine, Rachel Batya, Basleya, and Derek and Lauren Fine for dedicating all of the Shiurim this week in the Zechus of a Refuah Shalema for Rachel Batya Bas Leo. We hope that the merit of our Talmud Rachel will have a complete and enduring refuah together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And we'll see with that, let us begin. So really beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. So we are up today's daf is Kuf Nun Gimel 153, and we are picking up on Kuf Nun Beis and with Beis 152b. And we are picking up three lines are from the bottom. So we'll say, continuing in our discussion regarding what the dead know and what the dead are aware of after they die. So it says the Gemara, Amar Le'ahu Tzeduki, you know, we'll say, often say, you know, that one of the challenges with Daf Yomi that we have is the sheer pace, you know, that we have to go. So it's great if you could carve out time for Chazara every day. That's incredible. But especially Dafim like this that have such a beautiful Agarta, what I would encourage you is make sure that you mark this off in your Gemara so that as you go through Shas, you remember these daf. And I'll tell you where it's especially beautiful. You know, if you bring some of these Gemaras to your Shabbos table and you share them, they're really incredible. They're really incredible. I mean, your family might not be all that interested in some of the other sugyas in Shabbos, but everyone loves stories. Everyone loves stories. And the truth is, it's a beautiful way to bring learning home to your mishpacha as well. So just something to keep in mind. So it says the Gemara. So there was a tzduki who said to Rabbi Avo, Amrisu nishmason shal tzadikim genuzos tachas kisi akavid. You said before, you taught us that the neshamas of the tzadikim are stored underneath the kisi akavid, are stored underneath HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. So the Gemara says, Avotum ubatum ya hecha aske the Shmuel ben Egido. So, but you know, there's a story that before Shaul went out to war with the Plishtim, this is after really Shaul's unraveling, right? With the whole episode of David HaMelech. So Shaul goes to summon the spirit of Shmuel Hanavi through a necromancer, through an Ovi Yedoni. So what say? So the Gemara asks, I don't understand. And it worked, by the way. I mean, it didn't really work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it look like it worked, but it didn't really work. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If you tell me that the neshamas of the tzaddikim ultimately, yes, Munoz, thank you, are underneath the Kisei HaKavod, so how was it that halacha lemaisa, the Shaul was able to go ahead and raise the spirit of Shmuel, to which the Gemara says, "Amalei Hasam v'Soch Shneimaser Chodesh Haba." This is incredible. That was within the first 12 months after Shmuel died. Rabbi said, "Listen to this story." Listen to the statement. Disanyo, Kol Yud Beis Chodesh Gufo Kain V'Neshmasa Olav Yoredes. For the first 12 months after death, the neshama is the body is intact, and the neshama goes back and forth between this world and the next. Li'achar Yud Beis Chodesh, in the aftermath of 12 months. Batel, guf haguf batel, the body disintegrates, tap of kuf nun gimel, v'nishmasa ola ve'eni yoredes, and the neshama ascends and does not descend. So we'll say, pretty amazing Gemara. This, by the way, we've seen this theme many times before, already back in Brachas as well, which is this notion, this connection between the body and the soul. That as long as the body is intact, the neshama in some way is still tethered to this world. It is only once the body ceases to exist, right, the body disintegrates, that the neshama is totally freed from the confines of this world. Incredible. Abrav Yehuda Breid Rav Shmuel Bashilas. Mishmei Rav. Both say these incredible Gemaras. Mehespedo shel adam nikarim ben olam habahu. Imlav. Both say from a person's eulogy, you could tell if he is a ben olam haba or not. Now both say, now what does that mean? Right? From a person's eulogy, you could tell if he's going to the world to come. It's a lot of pressure on the speakers. Both say, listen to what Rashi says. Im ben olam habahu. Shim kasher haya hakol bochin alav. Because we'll say, if someone is considered to be truly pious, truly kosher, people cry at a levaya, umoridin demos, they cry, umusap Shvacha. So we'll say, so essentially the Gemara saying is like this. If people cry at a levaya, people cry from the eulogies, right? Ultimately, again, then that's a sign that the person is a ben olam haba. Apparently, if they don't cry at the eulogies, so he's not a ben olam haba. So the Gemara says, really, is that true? Ini v'ha'amar le'rav l'rav Shmuel bar Shilas. Yet Rav says Rav Shmuel bar Shilas. Let's listen to this. Achim behespeda tahasin kamina. So we'll say, so Rav said to Rav Shmuel, by the way, when I die and you deliver my eulogy, you better make it a good one, because I'm going to be there. Right? So what he was saying is, I'm going to be there, but this goes to what we said before, that the mace is present, right? The mace is present, because the mace is always together with the body until after Yud Beis Chodesh. But Rav was saying to Shmuel Shilas, please make sure to go in and give a good eulogy, because make people cry, Rashi says, Achim be'espeda, dasim kamina, b'shas misasies, ames be'hesped shali, when I die, make sure to give a good eulogy. She is chamamu, v'yichmeru rachamei omdim v'yivku. So Rav was saying to Shmuel bar Shilas, please, when you give a eulogy, give a stirring one that causes people to cry. So as I said, the shaila is obvious. I don't understand. We just said before, that Allah HaLamayisav, a person is an Adam Kasher, a person is lived a good life, was a ben olam haba, people will automatically cry. People automatically cry at his loss. So why is it that Rav needs to say to Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, make sure to give a good eulogy to make people cry? Lo kasha, hadem chamulei va'achim, hadem chamulei v'lo achim. We'll say it's very simple. At the end of the day, people only cry if they're going to be moved. If they're going to be moved by the eulogy. So the speaker has to be a good speaker. So if the speaker is a good speaker and the eulogy is moving and people cry, that shows that the person is a ben olam haba. If the speaker is a good speaker but people don't cry, then that might show something a little bit different. Look at Rashi. The olam chamume boy. We'll say you always need someone who is a passionate. Chamume means a speaker who's able to bring out emotion. She'in b'nei adam nichmarim kol kach al zakin. We'll listen to this, because people generally don't cry that much when older people die. Which I will say, again, that makes sense, right? Because again, remember, everybody dies. Mortality is part of life. And when you see that someone has actually lived to an old age, it's sad always to lose someone you love. But those feelings of the bitterness of loss are not the same thing when Chas Shalom someone dies young. So in general, when a Zakin dies, people aren't as prone to crying. Umiu la adam chasid ki mechamamo behesbeid, the mechamami ubacho kulu, ulemi she'eno chasid kolkach, mechamo leib lo mechamo. So let's say, so now it's becoming a little bit clear what the Gemara is saying. When a person dies at an older age, if people cry at the hespedim, at the levaya, that shows that he's a ben olam haba. If people don't cry, it might show something else. So therefore, again, it's dependent on the speaker. The speaker obviously has to do a good job in delivering a meaningful hesped. But even then, it's not clear if people cry or not. So the Gemara takes the shedding of tears to be an indicator as to the personal piety of the deceased. That's why Rav said to Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, listen, when I die, apparently Rav was already older, when I die, make sure to give, prepare a good hesped. Hopefully people will cry. Amalei Abai le Rabba, both listen to this. Abai said to Rabba, Kigon mar disonel ekula pumpa disoi man achim espeda. So Abai says to Rabba, what are you going to do when you die? Everyone in Pumpadisa hates you. So who's going to go ahead? Also, can you imagine this? Everyone in Pumpadisa hates you. So how are they going to give a good eulogy for you to cause people crying? Abba say, now why does everyone in Pumpadisa hate Rabba? So look at this. Rashi says, because apparently the people of Pumpadisa had some serious character flaws, and Rabba did not pull any punches with them. He gave them mussar. As a result, they disliked him. They disliked him. So Abai says to Rabbi, we're going to have a big problem. When you die, who's going to eulogize you to properly move the inhabitants to tears when they all hate you? So the Gemara says, Amarlei. So Rabbi responds, Mistaya at v'Rabba Barav Chanan. It's enough if you and Rabbi Barav Chanan eulogize me. That's enough. Incredible. So Bai Minei, Rabbi Elazar Meirav. So Rabbi Elazar asks from Rav the following Shaila. Ezehu ben Olam Haba. Both say, who is a person who is a ben olam haba? Right? What does it? Who is the person who's ben olam haba? So said the Gemara. Says Amalei. See, quotes over here the pasuk from Yeshaya. Va'aznicha tishmana davar me'acharecha le'mar. Zehaderech lichu bo. So kisaminu nichi sasmi. The boss, listen to this. So the Gemara answers, your ears will hear that which is being spoken behind you, saying, this is the path that a person should take. Shabbos says, so what does that mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. This is incredible. Vazanecha tishmana davar me'acharecha le'mar zehaderech lichu bo. Me'achare mitoscha kishetamos tishma. Listen to this. If when you die, people say, that was a life well lived and a life worth emulating, that's a ben olam haba. Isn't that a dramatic idea? A dramatic idea. If after you die, people say, that was a life well lived and that's a person who I should emulate, that's a ben olam haba. But Shabbos say, what is that? You would think, I don't know, if I was writing this Gemara, I would say, who's a ben olam haba? I don't know, there are so many more objective metrics. Right? Someone who learns, right? What are the three questions you asked after you die? Right? Kavate itim l'torah. Did you set aside time to learn? Nasasa v'nasata be'emuna. Were you honest in your business dealings? Asakta be'periv. Did you try to have a family? Shabbos says, so again, I don't know, the Gemara seems to give us, if those are the three questions I'm asked when I die, so that l'maisa, again, doesn't it make sense that those are the metrics for being in the ben olam haba? But you see something amazing. So what does the Gemara say? No. Who's a ben olam haba? A person who lived a good life. And I was at the end of the day, when you die, people know if you lived a good life. I mean, people never really know the full story of a person, but people could see the life that you lived. And here's the difference. You see, what the Gemara thing over here is, the definition of a ben olam haba is different for each of us. Because Yibam Shalom has different expectations for each of us. So what's our ultimate goal in life? Our goal in life is to live a good life. To live a good life and a life that stands on its own. So that when I go ahead and I leave this world, when someone looks from the outside in at my life, because no one knows the real inner workings of my life, a person says, you know what? That person, Ploni, he lived a good life. He lived a good life. He lived a good and meaningful life, a life worthy of emulation. If you lead a life that inspires others to live well, then the ma'aseh, that's a ben olam haba. Such an incredible idea. So it's not an objective metric. Did you learn? Were you honest? Those are personal questions that Baruch Hu asks me. But in terms of who's a ben olam haba, if I inspire others to go ahead and live meaningful lives, to accomplish things, that's a ben olam haba. Quite an incredible gemara. Rabbi Chanina Omer, kol shedas rabosinu nochemenu. If your teachers like you, if your Rebbe likes you, then ultimately, again, that means Rebbe Olam Haba. Say, now, what's the pshat with this? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "No chemenu daitam no chaleim b'mashe shomer alav v'roin bo." So Rebbe say, your parents have to love you unconditionally, right? And your children kind of even have to love you unconditionally. Even your spouse has to love you a little bit unconditionally, but your teachers do not. So if your Rebbe likes you, right? Your Rebbe sees you, and ultimately, again, say he has warm feelings towards you. That's a ben olam haba. Good. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'savavo b'shuk. V'savavo b'shuk ha-soptim. So we'll say the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Koheles. V'savavo b'shuk ha-soptim. So literally they walk around the marketplace, the eulogizers. B'nei Galila amri ase dvarim lefnei mitascha. So in the Galil they used to say, do things before your bed. What does that mean? I will say, ase dvarim, Rashi says, shiyomru lefnei mitascha behespedcha. Live a life that they could speak about while standing in front of your bed. The bed represents the funeral bier. So in the Galil, they used to say, live a life so that people could properly eulogize you. At the end of the day, give people something good to say in their eulogy. B'nei Yehuda Amri, Aseid Vram La'achem Itascha. In B'nei Yehuda, they would say, live a good life that people could talk positively about you from behind your bed. For those of you, there's no real machlokis over here. Mar Kiasir, Mar Kiasir. We'll say, in the Galil and in Yehuda, they just assumed different eulogizing positions. So apparently in the Galil, they would stand in front of the mace when eulogizing. In Yehuda, they would stand in back of the mace when eulogizing. Really incredible. So I just want to point something out over here. When the Gemara talks about, I don't want to leave you with the wrong impression. The Gemara is not saying like the most important thing in life is that people, you know, you want everybody to give a good eulogy about you. You know, that's the goal. They should give you... The idea is that you should live the kind of life that that stands on its own. That someone sees my life, and I don't need a whole Rashi. You know, people say, so Klal Gadol in life is, if you need Rashi, tells us Rishonim and Achronim, to explain why your life was meaningful and important, there's something missing. What the Gemara is saying over here is, live the kind of life that people who know you and people who see you know that you made a difference. That you made a difference. That you did something important. That you actually accomplished something in this world. That your time in this world was well spent. People shouldn't need a magnifying glass or a microscope or any type of perushim to see. I'm sure he did something good. I'm sure he did something good. Let's see. And again, when the Gemara says mitoch hespedu shel adam, you hear a lot. I go to a lot of levayas, and it is fascinating to hear what people speak about when they remember a loved one. It's fascinating to see, and sometimes it's heartwarming, and sometimes it's terribly sad. You think, and again, are you calling it as an outsider? Really, like, that's all you remember? That's it. That's it. After a whole lifetime, the one thing you remember are matzo balls. That's it. Matzo balls are very important. Don't get me wrong. But lemaisa, from a whole thing, flour and water and chicken soup. That's what this person meant. So again, sometimes of course that represents something much bigger. You know, the power of a matzo ball is like the glue that could hold the family together. So I'm not minimizing the koach of matzo balls, of knedloch, mamish, like it's important. But lamaisa, the Gemara is saying over here is, go ahead and live a life that when somebody gets up to eulogize you, they're not searching. They're not racking their brain for, I'm sure he did something good. I'm sure he made a difference in some way. But live a kind of life that stands on its own. It's incredible. Tanan Hasam, Rabbi Eliezer, we'll say, incredible, incredible Gemara. Shuv yom echa lifnei misasecha. Do tshuva. We'll say, it's incredible, the timing of this Gemara as well. We are already in Yom Noraim. Go ahead and repent one day before you die. So obviously, the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer says, repent one day before you die. Shalu tamidei Rabbi Eliezer v'chi adam yodei eze yom yomos. Rabbi, how can you say, do tshuva one day before you die? Does anyone know the day that they're going to die, that they could do tshuva the day before you die? To which Rabbi Eliezer says, exactly. Amar lahem v'chol shechein, yashuv hayom shema yomos l'machar. But say, do tshuva today, lest you die tomorrow. Benimtsa kol yomav b'tshuva. And I will say, if I live a life like that, where I do tshuva today, lest I die tomorrow, nimtsa kol yomav b'tshuva. Turns out that my entire life is spent in a state of tshuva. Va'af shlom ar b'chachmaso, shlom alech said this in his wisdom, b'chol eis, yubigadecha levanim, v'shemen aroshcha al yechsar. So I will say, literally shlom alech says, let your clothing be white at all times. That clothing white at all times is a metaphor for being in a state of spiritual preparedness. So I will say, this is probably one of the most important yisodos in life. It doesn't mean be ready to die at any moment. That sounds like a little bit morbid. But what it means is, a lot of times in life, we just procrastinate. We kick the can down the road. There's no reason to fix the things that I know that are broken today, because it's tomorrow. And most of us go through life with the same stuff that's broken. It's been broken for years. It's been broken for decades. I know what it is. I know what the problem is. I even really know what I have to do to fix it. But there's tomorrow. There's tomorrow. And Shlomo Melech says, don't live life like that. Whatever you have to fix, fix it now. Fix it now. Let your clothing be white. Okay, yes, because you could die at any moment. But I will say, no, a person doesn't have to be even that heavy. Let me say, I don't know how much time I have in this world. So the last thing I want is when I leave this world to have unfinished business. I don't want unfinished business. I don't want loose ends. Whatever I was supposed to take care of, I want to take care of. Let your clothing be white at any time. I don't know if Yochanan ben Zakkai, but it's such an incredible gemara. Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "Mashal Melech Shazimin Es Avadav L'Suda." Listen how beautiful this is. This can be compared to a king who invited his servants to a seuda. V'lo kavala en zman. So also listen to this. So they got an invitation for a formal dinner with the king. There's only one piece of information missing, which is when. When? The date of the dinner. So pikhin shevohen kishtu es atma v'yashua pezach beis ha-melech. Amar klum chas l'beis ha-melech. So listen to this. So the smart ones went ahead and said, listen, we got to be ready. Because l'maisa, the king could call us in a moment's notice. And for the king, for him to get together a suda doesn't require any real preparation. So we have to be in a state of preparedness now. So what did they do? They got dressed and they sat at the entrance of the king's palace waiting for the invitation. Tipshin shebahen, holchu l'melachton. The foolish ones, they went out to the fields, they did their work. Amar klum yesh suda b'lo torach. There's plenty of time. The king's not going to call us to show up in 5 minutes. A suda takes time. He'll call us. We'll have time to come home. I'll change. I'll take off my sullied clothing. And then there'll be time. Pepisom b'keish ha-melech es avadib. So let's listen to this. Immediate. So one day, just the king says, okay, come to the palace now. Time for the suda. So the wise ones came in all properly dressed and adorned. And the foolish ones, having no time to change, clean up, or change their garments, come into the palace, all dirty and sullied. The king was so happy to greet the wise people. But he was angry at the foolish ones. Because he said to the foolish ones, I told you there was going to be a suda. So why did you not live? Why did you not prepare yourself? Why did you not maintain a state of preparedness? These who went ahead and prepared themselves, the pikhin, come in and enjoy the feast. Those who did not prepare themselves could stand by but cannot partake of the meal. So the Gemara says, Chas l'shay Meir, Mishra Meir, Amar, Meir's son alone, Amar, Meir said, Af hein nirin kimishamshin. No. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bother the tipshin to stand around the Suda because then they look like attendants. Ella, Elu v'Elu Yoshvin. Everybody gets a seat at the table. Halalu ochlin, halalu ra'evin. But the pikhin get to eat, whereas the foolish ones, they're hungry. Halalu shosin v'halalu tzmein. The pikhin get to drink, and the foolish ones are thirsty. Shinemar ko amar Hashem, hine avdi yochilu v'atem tiravu, hine avdi yishtu v'atem titzmo, hine avdi aronu mitov leiv, v'atem titzaku micha'ev leiv. It will say, such an incredible metaphor. That ultimately, again, we'll say, we all know that death comes, not in a morbid way, but in a real way. We all leave this world. No one lives forever. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's going to come a time that I'm going to call you to the great Su'uda, the celestial Su'uda. But the only thing I'm not telling you when you're going to get called. So you know you're going to get called. And you know ultimately, again, that you're going to want a seat at the table. So are you living a life that gives you a seat at the table or not? That's the fundamental question. And there's no warning necessarily. And there's no preparation. So you have a choice. Live life in a constant state of preparedness. And I both say preparedness, I just want to point out, in this mashal, the pikhin sit by the entranceway of the palace. Now, don't take that to mean inaction or passivity. It's meant to mean readiness. The pikhin are also going out living their lives, but l'maisa, they keep their clothing clean, right? Because the pikhin, the pikeach also has to go to work, right? The pikeach also has to go into the world, but he also knows that he's got to keep his clothing clean, because if he has to show up to the palace in a moment's notice, he needs to be ready. B'chol is yihyu begadecha levanim. Probably perhaps the most important yisod in life. Be in a state of preparedness. Not, oh my gosh, I might die next moment, so therefore I better be ready. But l'maisa, I'm going to be called to the great Su'uda one day, and I just want to be ready. I want to partake. I want to bask in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all eternity when my time here in this world is over. So as such, I want to keep my clothing clean. And if my clothing got dirty, which inevitably it does over the course, and I will say there are two things you could do when your clothing gets dirty. You know, you could strategically position your tie, and, you know, just begin to wear it a little bit on the side, you know, if the coffee spills a little bit, and, you know, maybe as the stain gets bigger, the tie could get a little bit wider as well, or you could just clean your shirt. So sometimes we think that we save time by just repositioning the tie, but the truth is, the stain is always there, and I have to be consciously aware of the stain and hide the stain and obscure the stain, as opposed to just having the courage to take off the shirt, launder it, which takes a little bit more effort in the beginning, but then lamaisa be left with a beautiful clean shirt. If there are stains on my garment of life, now is the time to launder it. Now is the time to address it. Now is the time to deal with it. Davar acher, plus another interpretation. What does it mean that your clothing should be clean at all times or white at all times? Elut tzitzis. What is actually quite beautiful? It's a reference to tzitzis, because Rashi points out tzitzis are white. Shemiloven habeget, tzitzis are white. So b'chol isu begadecha levanim is a reference, you should always wear tzitzis. So we'll say the idea being, why are we focusing on tzitzis? Because remember again, part of the goal of tzitzis is to remind you of the Taryag mitzvos. To remind you of the 613 mitzvos. So therefore, Shlomo says, b'chol isu begadecha levanim, wear your tzitzis. This way you're constantly reminded of Taryag mitzvos. V'shemen al rosh chal yechsar. And what does it mean that oil shall not cease to be on your head? Elu tefillin. We'll say this ultimately again refers to tefillin. Why does oil refer to tefillin? So Rashi says, shame mishemen tov. Because as the pasuk says, that a good name is better than good oil. So we'll say, so tefillin in the eyes of Chazal are ultimately seem to be like the ultimate identifier of Ami. So like the pasuk says, v'ra'u kol ami aretz ki shem Hashem nikra aleichem. The nations of the world will see that the name of God devolves upon you, or rests upon you. Where do the nations see that? When they see the tefillin shel rosh. So shem arosh. So we'll say a very beautiful idea. So chol yisu beradecha levanim, wear your tzitzis. Wear your tzitzis. Surround yourself with physical reminders of who you are, of what you are, of ruchnius. V'shem arosh chal yechzar. Project your identity to the nations of the world. Don't be afraid to project who you really are. Keep your oil, keep your tefillin on your head, and be proud of your identity as a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hadron Aloch, Shoah. We'll say, a whole Shas is worth it for a Gemara like that, no? Good, beautiful. But we have more Shas. Mishaych Shekhbadar. So we'll say back to Shabbos. So it's a fascinating case. I'm traveling. It's Erev Shabbos. And what happens? Shabbos is about to start. And I'm on the road. I'm not home yet. What's the problem? I have my wallet in my pocket. Can't carry my wallet on Shabbos. So what could I do? No sin kisla nachri. If I'm traveling with a Gentile, I can say, hopefully someone who I trust, I can go and I can give him my wallet. Listen, do me a favor. Just carry my wallet home for me. If there's no Gentile with you, manicho ala chamar. You could put it on a donkey. So we'll say, so assuming you're traveling with a donkey. So if you're traveling with a nachri, you could explicitly ask that, no, this is happening before Shabbos. Right? So before Shabbos, I could ask the nachri, can you please carry my wallet home for me? If there's no nachri, but I'm traveling with a donkey, I could put it on my donkey. Right? I could put the wallet on my donkey. He yield a chatzar achitzona. Once I reach the outer courtyard, and Rabbi Rashi understands chatzar achitzona means over here the outer courtyard of my city. So once I get to a place that is closed in and secure, no tel asakelim hanitalin b'shabbes. I could take, now this is talking about the donkey case. So assuming the donkey is laden with items, I could take the non-mukta items off the donkey. We'll say for the mukta items, what I could do is, you see, stuff was normally tied onto a donkey. So for the non-mukta items, I could just take them off the donkey. For the mukta items, I could kind of untie the knot that's securing everything to the donkey, and everything just falls down by itself. The idea is that once I've reached a secure area, I'm fine with the items remaining in the courtyard. Says the Gemara, Bosei, this incredible Gemara. My time is Shardi Rabbanan Lameisev Kisil and Achri. Bosei, listen to this Gemara. Why did Chazal allow me to go ahead and give my wallet to the Gentile? Look at Rashi. My time, Asher Le'ele Meisel HaNachri, V'hari U'shlucho L'Sa'en B'Shabbos. I don't understand, Abbas, the Nachri becomes my Shaliach to carry the wallet on Shabbos. Well, I'm not allowed, the general klal is, whatever you're not allowed to do, you can't ask a Shaliach to do. So if I'm not allowed to carry my wallet, so Lemaisa, again, why am I able to ask the Nachri to do so? Vose, listen to this incredible Gemara. Kimu Rabbanon De'in Adam Maimin Atzmo Amamono. So we'll say, because Chazal understood, a person will not be able to restrain himself from saving his money. We'll say, this is an incredible Gemara. Ilo Sharisle, if you don't allow him to give his wallet to the Nachri, he's going to end up carrying it himself. We'll say this is incredible. And this is part of the beauty of Yiddishkeit. Chazal understood human nature. And human nature is, I'm not leaving my wallet on the side of the road. I'm just not. It's just not going to happen. Meaning, it's too. My credit cards are in there. My license is in there. My money is in. What am I going to do? I'm going to leave my wallet by the side of the road, and who knows what's going to happen. So Chazal is, we have a choice. So we could be purists. And say, no, it's Shabbos. And therefore, you can't carry your wallet. And we'll say, like most times in life when you're a purist, what happens? It generally backfires. Because it's very difficult to live life as a purist. Or you could be practical. So you want to be a purist, or do you want to be practical? So practical, Chazal said, listen, Amir l'nachir yuzad d'rabbanon, instructing a Gentile to do malach on Shabbos yuzad d'rabbanon. So therefore, better to relax the d'rabbanon in order that the Jew doesn't come to perform a d'oraisa. So therefore, Allah l'maisa, Chazal said, we would rather allow you to explicitly have a nachri do malacha for you on Shabbos than have you end up potentially transgressing a d'oraisa yourself. Incredible. We'll say, it's really, what you also see, we'll say, something really amazing. Sometimes halacha demands that I overcome my nature. And sometimes halacha understands that my nature is too powerful to overcome, which is really this fascinating dialectic. It's like, you know, an extreme. So you see, we'll say, where do you see it? So you see it over here by your wallet. Where else do you see it? Like, paradigmatic, it's like Yifas Toar, the war bride, right? So it's fascinating that sometimes in matters of money and morality, Chazal understood that there are things that I could overcome, or Ben Shalom understood, and things that I can't. So it's really, so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Halacha tells me that I have to overcome something, it means that I have the koach to do so. But Haraya, when Chazal or HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that I can't overcome something, they don't make me do something impossible. So it's really amazing. So here, Chazal understood we can't ask you to put your wallet by the side of the road. Not going to happen. So therefore, we'd rather have you instruct the Nachri to carry it for you than to end up transgressing. Amar Rava, Dafka Kiso. But this Dafka applies to your wallet. Aval Mitzia Lo. But we'll say if you find something, we'll say, so let's say, for example, let's say I'm walking on Shabbos with the Nachri. I find a $100 bill on the ground. I say, Nachri, do you mind? Can you pick that up for me? Can you just pick it up? I can't pick it up. It's Shabbos. This Shabbos Geret, right? I can't pick it up. But if you could pick up that $100 for me, it's mine because I saw it first. And I just hold it for me till after Shabbos, or I bring it to my house. That you're not allowed to do. Tuvish Gemara says Pshita. That's obvious. Kiso Tanan. It says wallet. I'm going to thought that it maybe even applies to a found object. And the only reason it mentions wallet is because wallet is the more common case. Kamash Malon, no. But when do we say that you can't instruct the Nachri to carry a lost object, a found object for you on Shabbos? That's only when you found it on Shabbos. Aval osi liyadei, but I will say, if lemaisa, you found the $100 bill before Shabbos, then what? Kiki say dummy. Then it is like your wallet, and you can ask the Nachri to hold it. So this is really quite fascinating. So here's what I know I can do. So if Shabbos is coming and I'm on the road, I could ask the Nachri, can you please carry my wallet back home for me? Fine. We'll say if I find a $100 bill on Shabbos, right? So that I can't ask the Nachri to go ahead and carry home for me. That's a mitzvah. I have no sheikhs to that. But if I find a $100 bill 5 minutes before Shabbos, pick it up and put it in my pocket, then what? Then it becomes lemaisa like my wallet. It becomes like my wallet. I get supposed to say, Bori, see something, but you just found it 5 minutes ago, right? Let's say again, that's very different. I would say, you know, $100 bill that you find 5 minutes before Shabbos is very different than your wallet. So let's say, see something amazing. You see how the found objects of yesterday become like the necessities of today. Like you see how human nature works. You know, when you go ahead and you find that $100, wow, mamish, a windfall. Once you put it in your pocket, it's already part of your money. It's already part of, meaning there's no chilik, which in general is a fascinating incident to human nature, because a lot of times in life, like the miracles of today become the expectations of tomorrow. And one of the most important yesodos in life is to be so careful, because so many times we get something and it's incredible and it's amazing, some type of bracha in life, okay, and it's exciting, then the new bracha smell goes away and it just becomes another expectation. So that's the Chazal are saying, you know, when you see the $100, wow, $100, the moment you put it on your pocket, It's like you earned it. It's like of course it's mine. So you find it on Shabbos, you can't give it to the Nachar. But 5 minutes before Shabbos, you put it in your pocket, that you can give to the Nachar. Iked Amri, Bay Rava, Mitzia Bali Odoma. Both say others have a different version of this exchange. What happens if one finds an object? Can you give that to the Nachri to transport on Shabbos? Kevan Das Liyadei Kiki Seidamu. Do we say since he found it before Shabbos, it's like his wallet? Oh, Dilma Kevan Dalo Tarach Balav Kiki Seidamu. Do we say no? The only thing you have a license to give to the Nachri on Erev Shabbos and to carry on Shabbos is something you worked for, your wallet, but something you found, you do not have a license to give to the Nachri, to which the Gemara says, Teku. So apparently, the Gemara doesn't answer. The Gemara leaves off the Teku by the Metzia question. Good. Any more Nachri. So I'll say, so the Mishnah said, if there's no Nachri, you could put your wallet on your donkey. Taima de any more Nachri. So the reason you could utilize the donkey is because the Nachri is not with you. Ha yeshimo Nachri the Nachri Yavle. But I will say, if there is a Nachri, you should give to the Nachri. So I will say, this is very interesting. So in other words, if you're traveling with both a Gentile and the donkey, it's clear from the Mishnah that what should you do? Give the wallet to the Nachri. Gemara says, but why? My taima, why is that? Chamar atamatsuva al shvisasa, nachri iatamatsuva al shvisasa. Let's say a very interesting idea, because the donkey, we're assuming the donkey in question over here is my donkey. So I'm the Jew traveling with my donkey and my Gentile acquaintance. So now it's coming close to Shabbos. I'm not going to get back home. So I could either put the wallet on my donkey or I could give the wallet to the Gentile. So the Mishnah says better to give the wallet to the Gentile. Very simple question. Why? Because there's a din of shvisas behema, which means my animals have to rest on Shabbos. The act of putting something on my donkey carrying it, is an act of labor for the donkey. So it's better for me to give to the Gentile than to go ahead and have the donkey carry something. So the Gemara said, I will say, just even more than that, remember again, shvisas behema, having your animals rest on Shabbos is a din daraisa. Instructing a nachri to do malacha is a din dirabanan. So much better to go ahead and deal with the dirabanan than the daraisa. So says the Gemara, good. Chamar v'cheri shote v'katan. So what happens if it's a choice between a chamar, a cheresh, shota, or a katan? Deaf mute, right? That's a cheresh. Shota is someone who's insane. Or a katan, or a child. Who should I give it to? A chamar manichle. So we'll say better to put it on the donkey. The cheresh, shota, the katan, yolo, yavli. Not to give to the cheresh, shota, the katan. My taima, hani adam, hai lav adam. Because we'll say on a very simple level, if it's a choice between giving it to a Jew, right? To a person versus the animal, put it on the animal. Cheresh, v'shota. We'll say what happens again if it's a choice between giving it to a cheresh or a shota. So the Gemara says, l'shota. Better to go ahead and give it to the shota. Bosanai, why is that? This is actually very interesting. As much as cheresh and shota are often grouped together, l'maisa, the cheresh is considered to have what Rashi calls a das kala. There is some level of cognition that's there. Masha'inkein, the shota is considered to have no das. Considered to have no das. So the Gemara says, shota v'katan. What about to a shota or a katan? The shota, you should go ahead and give it to the shota. We'll say same idea. Because remember again, the cheresh and the katan are considered to have compromised das, but there is some das that is there. The shota, on the other hand, is considered to have no das. So therefore, again, when faced with the ability to give it to someone who has some das versus no das, better to give it to the person who has no das. Ibailuhu, cheresh v'katan mai. So we'll say, what about if it's a choice between a cheresh and a katan? Alibut Rabbi Eliezer lo tibailucha. So with Kohen Rabbi Eliezer, it's not a kasha. Why? What does Rabbi Eliezer say? Disanya, Rabbi Yitzchak v'shom Rabbi Eliezer, chumas cheresh, amad beis, lo seitzei l'chulim. So we'll say the truma of a cheresh ultimately, again, does not go to chulim. So as much as a cheresh should not be separating out truma, if he did so, it does not go out to chulim mipnei shu safek. So we'll say, see from here that a cheresh has certainly a higher level of das than a katan. Kiti baylach, alibu d'rabbanan. We'll say, where does the shaylach? According to d'rabbanan, this nan, chamisha lo yisromu. There are five people who shouldn't take truma, separate truma. Vim tarmu ain't truma san truma. But if they did take truma, the designation is not effective. Who are the eluhein? Cheresh, shota, v'katan, v'atar m'shein l'shol. So we'll say, cheresh, shota, v'katan. Or someone who tithes that which is not his. V'nachri shetaram es shal yisrala filo birshuso. Ein trumaso truma. and there's even a nochri, right? The Gentile who took truma from a Jew's produce, even with the Jew's permission, such a designation is not appropriate. So the Gemara says, according to this opinion, my lecheresh yahivle dekatan asi lechlalda. So we'll say, should I give it to the cheresh? Because it's better to give to the cheresh than the katan. Because although the katan is a katan now, but the katan will emir tzashem, right? Zeh katan gadol yihya. One day the katan will be a gadol, will be a bardas. Or maybe it's better to go in and give it to the Chereish. Because why? Because ultimately, again, I'm sorry, or better, it's better to give it to the Katan, because if you give it to the adult Chereish, you could potentially confuse him with other fully competent adult Jewish males. To which the Gemara says, so some say, or both say, when it's a choice between the Chereish and a Katan, better to give it to the Chereish. Others say better to give to the Katan. So I'll say, interestingly enough, that's the tension over here. Who's the better person to give it to, the Chereish or the Katan? That's the fundamental shayla. We'll say there's a lot to say on that also, just from a hashkafic perspective, as to who is considered to be a stronger identity, the cheresh or a katan, but we'll have to come back to it. Ain sham lo nachri velo chamar velo cheresh lo shalta velo katan mai. We'll say, listen to this. So now let's say you go through the list. There's no nachri, there's no chamar, there's no cheresh, there's no shalta, and there's no katan, but there is still me and my wallet, and it's 5 minutes before Shabbos. So what should I do in that case? So I'll say, listen to this. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Oda Cheres Haisa, V'lo Ratzu Chachem L'Galosa. There was one more option, but Chazal did not want to reveal what that option was. My Oda Cheres Haisa. And we'll say, so what's the additional option that Chazal didn't want to talk about? Malicho Pachos Pachos Midalad Amos. Because we'll say, what can you do? Carry the wallet, keep it in your pocket, and just walk less than Dalad Amos at a time. Right, you must remember again, the din of Hotzah is only if you go and you carry something Dalad Amos and it's a rabbin. So just walk less than Dalad Amos at a time. So Amai Lo Ratzucham L'Galosa, both say, why did Chazal not want to reveal this option? It's obvious. Mishum Kavod Elokim Haster Dabar Ukvod Molochim Chakor Dabar. Sometimes the honor of God requires you to hide certain things. We'll say, so what's the honor of God that we're concerned about over here? We'll say, it's very understandable. That's like, what they're describing over here is mamish something you do not want to advertise in public. Why? Because it is so easy to transgress. It's so easy to transgress. You walk an extra half an amma. You're not attentive to every single step. And suddenly you've just violated a malacha d'oraisa. So we'll say, so again, remember, is that option on the table? Yes, it's there, but Chazal did not even really like to speak about it all that much because Lemaisa, they were concerned it would be abused. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bo Bayom Gotchu Sar. But it says on that day, they piled on the Sar. We'll say on that day, Rashi points out, it's talking about the day when they went, the Gemara Tosa, when they went into the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiah and they legislated 18 things. Among those 18 things was that if you're stuck without a nachriya chamara chiri shota v'katan, that you could carry your wallet less than dalit ames at a time. So Allah says that was a great day. They went ahead and they piled on additional halachas. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Bobayom Machkusa. That day they leveled out the sa. So also Rabbi Yeshua was unhappy. Rabbi Yeshua felt that lemaisa, adding on that extra piece actually was detrimental. Tanya, Mashal Rabbi Eliezer Lamal Davidomer. To what could Rabbi Eliezer say and be compared? What's the Mashal? Lukuba Malia Kishon Vidiluin. But say if you have a basket filled with cucumbers and gourds, Adam Nosin Lasocha Chardal Vimachazakes. Ultimately, again, a person could pour in mustard seed, and the mustard seed preserves the gourds and the cucumbers. So I'll say, so putting in that extra gzera of being able to go ahead and walk less than dalet ames at a time, that was good, and it was a preservative. Marshal Rabbi Yeshua Davadoma, Rabbi Yeshua felt that the adding on of this ability to walk less than dalet ames at a time, what is that compared to? La Reva Malaya Dvash, like you have a basket that's filled with honey, or a bowl filled with honey. No, in the Sukkah, Rimon the man goes with him, Akia. Well, so what happens if you have a bowl with honey and you drop in there nuts and pomegranates? it causes the honey to spill out. So Rabbi Yoshua is very upset that they released this information about walking less than Dalai Lamas. He felt that that was actually going to be detrimental. So both say, remember, that is the halacha. That is the halacha. Technically speaking, if one walks less than Dalit Amos in an effort to go out and protect their wallet, so Lamaisa, again, it could work. One is not in violation. Again, we'll see the halacha in just a bit. But I will say, but again, there's a fascinating machlokes of whether or not it was ever appropriate to actually release that information. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Eini Mo Nachri Manicha Lachamar. We said before that if there's no Nachri with you, you could put the wallet on a donkey. How could you do that? Valo Mechamer. But I say, is that not leading a laden donkey? But Rachmana Amar Lo Sasekha Malacha. And I will say, the Torah says you can't do any Malacha. And I will say, including in the Malacha, is that you can't do Malacha with your animals. Amar Avadabar Ava Manicha Ale Kishuma Aleches. No, but I say, listen to this. In order for an animal to be, in violation of mechamer, which is leading a laden animal, there has to be an akira and a hanacha, right? An uprooting of the object and the object coming to rest. So the way you could circumvent that is how? Place the object on the animal while the animal is still moving. So therefore, Rabbi say there's no real akira. So the Gemara says, "Bon, say, after the lokaim alahashdin, mayim alhatu glolim, but veika akira v'hanacha." But at some point, then the animal is going to stop. Right, to relieve itself. And if that's when the animal stops and then starts again, there's an akira and a hanocha. Kishima leches manicho ala, kishiomedes no telesimena. Both say, what do you do when the animal's moving? You keep the wallet on it, but the moment you see the animal's going to stop, you take the wallet off it. Because you're supposed to remember again, the taking the wallet off the animal is okay as long as you're not walking daladamas. Ihachi afilu chaveronami. If that's the case, then lamaisa. Why do you need the donkey to do this? Your friend could do it for you also. Amra papa, kol shebegufo chayiv chatos, bichabero pater. But I'll say anything that if you were to do it yourself, you'd be chayiv chatos, i.e. a biblical transgression. Bichabero pater avo aser. Your friend can't do it midrabanon. Kol shechabero pater avo aser. But anything I will say that is pater avo aser, aser midrabanon for your friend, bichamoro mutter lechatchila. For your chamor, right, you could do a lechatchila. Therefore, I will say, again, if I were to place a wallet on my friend while he was walking and remove it ultimately again before he were to stop, that would be an issur d'rabbanan. So, therefore, because issur d'rabbanan by a person, by a donkey, it's mutar lechatchila. So, therefore, I will say, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is as follows. That, again, obviously the best thing to do is the nachri. If you can't do it by the nachri, then put it on the chamor. But even the chamor, if it's your chamor, you have to be careful with leading a laden animal on Shabbos. In which case, what you could do is leave it on the animal while the animal, put it on the animal while the animal is moving, and keep it there while the animal is moving. But the moment, ultimately, again, that the animal is about to stop moving, you take that off. You take that off. All right, so you know what? We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with Amar Rav Ada Bar Abba. Emirat Hashem tomorrow. Shkach Ha'osai.